the folk joining us on media. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us. And you folk on media, if you're ever in the area, drop by. You just missed out because I didn't get to share it. But we have a great time together. There's a whole lot more that goes on in a service here at Freedom Life than what you see. But we're privileged to share with you what you do see. So thank you for joining us. We're fixing to be preaching on a little visit. We're going to get to go on vacation, by the way. And, you know, I'm so excited to have time with the beautiful blonde. There's going to be some time with just me and the beautiful blonde together. And I'm so excited about that. I'll tell you, I am. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to a little bit of rest. She says we're going to have some rest in this schedule. And I'm so excited about that. I told her, I think I've said it before, that this time away is about 2 weeks late. Because it seemed like I'm kind of, you know, okay, that's all right. But I'm here to tell you that, you know, I'm excited about ministering and sharing with some folk. We're going to be with a lot of folk. We're going to cover a lot of ground. I think probably about 2,500 miles. We're going to be traveling a little bit. But I'm here to tell you I'm so excited about that and ministering. But there's two different types of groups, and we get to minister to different tags and titles. Okay, so that's an honor. It's a privilege to minister to the saints, to minister to the churches, the bride of Christ, no matter what the tag or title is. And we don't go in and try to change people. We go in and present Jesus. Because you got to let Jesus do the changing, right? By the way, I'll just mention this right quick. If you've got someone in your family you're trying to change, stop. Okay. That doesn't work too well, okay? The best thing you can do is center in on Jesus and make sure Jesus is large and in charge of you and the atmosphere around where you are, and let Jesus do the changing. Amen. Oh, amen. That's a word of wisdom. Two different types of group that we minister to. One is, you know, folk that tend to, they know that salvation's by grace, but then it stops there, and then they turn around and say, but the rest of your life, you got to live by the law, or you've got to live by rules and regulations to try to earn more from God or grow in the Lord or to be what God wants you to be. And I don't think that this was purposefully by denominations or pastors, but it kind of falls into a religious emphasis. And I want to tell you that's dangerous. Paul deals with that. This has been going on for centuries. Okay, Paul deals with it. And matter of fact, a lot of our folk are in the home groups or studying Hebrews. You're going to see it in Hebrews. Ephesians. You know, he deals with this, okay, because it was a problem back then, and it's a problem now. But so there's still a tendency with that. And I want to tell you, if you start out with grace by faith and salvation, and then you try to live by religion or rules or regulations to try to finish out your journey, you're frustrated, you're wore out, you know, it just doesn't work. As a matter of fact, you take part in a part of a bondage that limits you from the best of God. Oh, I'm telling you. And so, you know, the message of grace is important for those churches that we go to. And then there are other churches that are kind of on the other end of the spectrum, and they're just, I mean, they know about grace. And they know what we preach and teach, that, you know what, Jesus has provided for everything. Not just one thing, not just a ticket to heaven, but he's provided for everything that we will ever need in this journey. That's great news. And they know this well, and they believe it, they acknowledge it, and they speak it. But then I see, this is going to land on some people's front porch. And it may bother, it don't bother me to bother you if it encourages you to seek the Lord. You already got that figured out. But this is what happens with some grace folk that we kind of call it out there grace. Because, you know, you can take anything and go too far with it. As a matter of fact, every truth in the Bible has ditches on both sides. And whatever ditch you're in, it's a type of grave. Okay? It's an open-ended grave. It's a rut, and you can miss. And so the Lord wants us to be in balance, and I know everybody thinks they're in the middle of the road and everybody else is in ditches, but I'm just sharing with you. This is kind of what I see. It doesn't mean that I see it all right in every way, because I still see through a glass darkly too. It's getting brighter, thank God, and it ought to in our journey. But it goes like this. A lot of grace people tend to go too far with it, in a sense that they know that it's all been provided and that we got it, and it's the goodness of God, and it's not earned, it's freely received by faith, all that's right. But then they take it a little bit too far and they say, so we're free, not to be disciplined in our walk with the Lord. Are you listening? We're free not to be disciplined in prayer or the word, walking in oneness and unity with the saints. We're free not to participate in the disciplines of the Lord. Well, I want to tell you what that is. Okay, this is from Bible. That's laziness. Now, I'm going to announce something, see, because the grace people shout for me a lot, but then when I do stuff like that, they say, whoa, 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 whoa. And the other ditch starts cheering, okay? But it goes like this. There's no room in your walk with God for laziness. You can't use grace as an excuse for laziness. I want to tell you something. We're here for a limited amount of time. I don't know if you realize that. Man, I realize that. I told some pastors the other night that I'm starting my fourth quarter. And I want to tell you, I'm determined that my fourth quarter is going to be greater than all the three quarters put together. Okay, I'm going to win in the fourth quarter in such a way it's going to be such an overcoming more than conquer. Why? Because we believe in Jesus. We believe in the last days. We believe that the latter rain will be greater than the former rain. And you know what? I'm believing in going out with a shout and a pout. So you know where I'm at on that, okay? But I'm just trying to tell you something. Grace is not an excuse for you to have early retirement in your walk with God, in your ministering to the Lord and ministering to people. Grace is not an excuse to not participate in church. I had someone, way out there. I'm not going to tell you where, because they probably may be listening. But they say, well, we're free. We're free. We're free not to. Well, I want to tell you, you're not free to not obey God. You're not free to not follow the word. You're not free to be complacent. Because even though great grace presents to us the rest of God, and it's important. Well, we preach on resting in the Lord. It means to depend and to lean on and to trust in the Lord. But when you're resting in the Lord, that doesn't mean inactivity. That doesn't mean laziness. It means spirit-directed activity. And in the resting in the Lord, I want to tell you, according to the Bible, the battle for the rest is to get there and stay there. Because doubt, speculation, and unbelief wants to draw you away, to let your heart be troubled, to fear come, to worry. Okay, to say, well, I'm just going to make it happen. Go back into the works mode. But I want to tell you, there is a position. See, rest is spirit-directed activity. Oh, you're active. Because I want to tell you something about faith. Faith is not being a bump on a stump. Faith is receiving, and faith is walking it out. I mean, have you received enough grace to believe? Well, have you received enough grace to live it? Is to walk it out. Man, I'm nearly getting knocked down with amens, okay? I am preaching in the right place. I think the camera's saying amen louder. It's okay. But I'm here to tell you there's something to this. There's no room for self-focus. Because I want to tell you about what grace is. It's passion of Jesus being manifested in your life. It's the love of Jesus, man, being manifested. Now, I want to tell you something. Oh, enjoy it. It's for you. Enjoy it. Soak it up. Be convinced of His love. You hear us preach that. But at the same time, I'm telling you, if it stays with just you, it's not enough grace. Because the passion of Jesus for you needs to reflect in your His passion for others. And if you think just you know, my four and no more, we're doing okay. Well, I'm so glad you're doing okay. But there's all kind of people around you that are not doing okay. And your position of walking with the Lord and receiving for the Lord, it is for you, but it's not just for you. And if you stop it at just for you, then I want to tell you, you're limiting God. Because I want to tell you, He blesses you, yes, for you, but not just for you. It's for others. And if it doesn't get into the others part, I had to mention to some folk, this was a while back, you don't know who, but that, you know what, there's a tendency to be fat in the Lord. Now, fat's not a bad connotation in the Bible like it is here. I mean, in our culture. But to be fat in the Lord is to be enriched in the Lord. But I want to tell you, the overflow, the knowledge, the information, all the great teaching that you have, I want to tell you, it's not to stop with you. Every Timothy needs a Paul, and every Paul needs a bunch of Timothys. And so I'm just sharing with you, it's not just for you, it's for others. What are you doing with all that information, all that knowledge? Well, if you're keeping it just at your camp, you're hindering and you're limiting God. I want to tell you, we need to be a billboard for Jesus. We need to be a big mouth for Jesus. And I want to tell you, we need to be a transparent life for Jesus. Don't hide in the cave. Boy, if there's anything that COVID taught the church to not do is go hide in the cave. We need to be a bright light, not a little candle hidden in your house. Boy, I hope I'm not hurting your feelings. It's not my intent, but I hope I'm encouraging you that there's more than just you. No self-focus, no self-promotion, no self-centeredness, okay? Content in the Lord, fulfilled in the Lord, but not complacent. What that means is that you always have a hunger for more. Are you hungry for more? Are you thirsty for more? Stay thirsty, my friend. That sounds like a... Okay. This is for Jesus. Stay thirsty for the water of life. Okay. I'm just saying, because there was a brother that said, well, at this point in my life, I'm just trusting the Lord to stay comfortable. Well, I renounce that in the name of Jesus. Because I want to tell you what's wrong with comfort. You're in a recliner when we're still on a battlefield. And God's called you, okay, to battle, to be a soldier, to be a warrior for the kingdom of God. Yes. You say, well, I'm doing all right. Other people are not. We need to fight for those that can't fight for themselves. That's Bible. We need to believe for those who can't believe for themselves. That's the passion of Christ. Okay? And, you know, we need to be rescue rangers. There's a lot of people that need to be rescued. And so I'm so glad you're doing okay. But let's receive enough grace for the heart of the Lord for others. And let's be actively involved. What is your ministry? Because the Bible calls you a minister. It's not just those that we call leadership team around here or pastors here. It's not that. You're a minister. And so how's your ministry going? Well, if you're not receiving, you can't give it. But if you're receiving and not giving, that's wrong. And so I'm just trying to encourage you. Okay, we're fixing to receive communion. How many are ready to receive communion? Yeah, let's get on to one of the gates here, to trusting and receiving from the Lord. And so, you know, I'm just telling you that the grace of God that is available for you, and it needs to transpire into grace, graciousness, loving kindness for others. Okay? I had a guy, I was telling somebody that the Lord's given me a new truck. I have to announce that every now and then, just to confess it with my mouth. The Lord's given me a new truck. I've already got it called. I already know the color. It's called the Bluebird Express. I'm calling it the Express. You know what that means. But I'm naming it after my dad because he loves bluebirds. But I want to tell you something. They said, well, what are you going to do with the Red Hawk? I said, I'm giving it away, and I already know who I'm giving it to. And they said, well, you know, what if that person's not responsible? What if? I had to ask them, you know, did you deserve your wife? No, wait. I'm trying to help you. Did you deserve your wife? Or is she an expression of grace in your life? I'm pointing over here. Hi, Caitlin. I love you. I miss you. You owe me a bunch of hugs. We've been talking about it. Okay, the Lord is precious with you. And I miss you. You understand what I'm saying? Did any of us deserve the manifestation of God's goodness in our life? Do you think He entrusted us with all that He paid for, knowing that we very well may not walk in it? I'm telling you, but His expressions of love do this, motivate us toward Him. And so I'm telling you, the great expressions of love in your life are to motivate you toward Him. It's the goodness of God. Somebody say amen. It's the goodness of God that draws you to Him. Man, this is in the sermon time too. We got to roll. Okay. And so I'll tell you what's wrong. Is unbelief. I'm just announcing this. Okay. I'm coming across more of as a prophet today. That's all right. I have that in me too. But I want to tell you, the sickest people I know don't take communion. I'm telling you, the sickest, I'm talking about people that's been sick for decades, don't take communion. And if you've been paying any attention to this series, this is a gate that the Lord's given us to remember Him. Are you ready? Because when we remember, we receive. It's to touch Him. Make it about Him and not about you, and watch what you receive. Lord Jesus, we remember You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You suffered more than we can describe or imagine in order for our wellness. You took our sickness, our sufferings, our pain, in order that we might have Your wellness, Your wholeness. We give You praise. Lord, we honor You. We humble ourselves before You, and we say we need You. We need Your touch in our soul and in our body. In Jesus' name we receive. Now, I want to tell you in the same way, I'm just going to tell you this. The guiltiest people I know don't receive communion. The most condemned people I know, the most depressed people I know don't receive communion. But I want to tell you, He paid the price with His blood for all of our sins to be forgiven, for the power of sin to be removed, from the punishment of sin to be removed. Is that powerful? And when we practice remembering that by Your blood, Lord, we have the position of righteousness. And your position of righteousness causes us to receive. You paid the price for everything we need in this journey to overcome. Lord Jesus, thank you for the power of your blood. Thank you that you come to set us free. Lord Jesus, by grace through faith, we say yes to the power of your blood to have power over sin, to have your power over the effects, your power that sets us free from bondage. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you set us free by your blood from the punishment of sin, so we don't have to condemn ourselves, because you took all of our condemnation on you. We give you praise and we give you glory for the freedom your blood has bought in our life, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's salute the Lord. Let's give the Lord praise. Somebody celebrate the Lord. Amen and amen. Okay, well, that's part of the sermon, so I'm already preaching. Boy, we're covering all kind of ground. But let me just say that if your life has more problems than a soap opera, it very well could be. And there are people that whose lives are like soap operas. I mean, every week there seems to be a drama. And like they live in the drama club. And, you know, I'm just announcing something to you. If your life is like a drama club, like a soap opera, then I want to tell you, there may be a lie that you've believed. Because that's not freedom life. That's not victory. That's not peace. That's not divine protection. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't get attacked. Oh, I'm telling you, the enemy will attack us with everything he's got. And the Bible says there are seasons of attack. There are days of attack where you do all, it's all that you can to stand. But you can't, because of Jesus. And I'm just telling you that the same way that we approach the Lord in a worthy manner with communion, we approach the Lord in a worthy manner when it comes to grace. We approach him in a worthy manner when it comes to our giving. Okay, because we're going to look at that today. And you know what that is? Let me tell you what a worthy manner is. It's humbling yourself before the Lord. It's esteeming the Lord. It's honoring and glorifying the Lord. Okay, it's walking in humility. It means you're walking in dependence upon him. And I want to tell you, that's a power move with God. That's your yes to his yes. When we approach him in humility and we approach him in a dependent manner, a worthy manner. And that's all it takes. I'm telling you, keep it simple, saints. Keep it centered on Jesus. We surround it with thanksgiving and worship, because that's our protocol. And I want to tell you, he causes us to receive. Okay. Melchizedek. I've talked to you about him before. I'm going to run through this morning, and I'm going to do it a little faster than what I thought. But Melchizedek shows up in Scripture, and it was announced that he was the king of Salem. Now, Salem is the first time that Jerusalem was mentioned. It's speaking of Jerusalem, first time mentioned in the Bible. And so is the king of Salem. Salem means peace, so he's the king of peace. He's from the king of peace. Is that great? We know who that is. As a matter of fact, Melchi means king of. Zedek means righteousness. So he's the king of righteousness from the place of peace, from the city of peace. Is that great news? That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Well, I'm telling you, it is Jesus. Now, there are some people that don't go that far with it, but and that's okay. It's not going to change the effect here. But I'm telling you, I believe it's the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Because he shows up in the Old Testament in a number of ways. Not every time, but a number of times when it says angel of the Lord, it's a description of Jesus. He's showing up in the Old Testament. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And he said, I am. Who's the I am? That's Jesus. He appeared in the burning bush and talked to Moses. He appeared to Abraham. That's what we're talking about. Melchizedek showed up and appeared to Abram at that time. He visited with Samson's parents before he was born, appeared to mom twice, and appeared the second time because they asked him to come back in prayer. God sent back that angel. They didn't know who he was. And so Jesus showed back up to both of Samson's parents before he was born and announced it because she couldn't have a baby. This was a miracle baby. And Jesus pronounced him and a destiny about him, and that he was to be a Nazarite committed to the Lord in certain ways. And the parents were too. Isn't that interesting? But anyway, it goes like this. And so they met and they described, they prophesied, and Samson's parents received it and they were excited. And they said, and by the way, what's your name? And he told them his name. Now, in your English, in some of your Bibles, it shows up secret, that his name's secret. But I love the way the Hebrew brings it out. It says his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Say this, Jesus my Lord. Now I want to tell you, that's him. That's him. He described himself as wonderful. Isaiah prophesies his name will be wonderful. New Testament describes his name is wonderful. That's your Jesus. And Jesus makes an appearance a number of times in the Old Testament. You know, he came and ate a meal with Abraham and Sarah. And a matter of fact, with Samson's parents, they said, we want to make you a meal. Boy, that's just a good earthly thing to do, is to make a meal, to celebrate. But I want to tell you something, and Jesus told him, you can make it, but I'm not going to eat it. Now, he did eat with Abraham and Sarah, and you know what? That's his role. That's his choice, isn't it? But I want to tell you what happened is that he took up that meal as an offering, flame of fire, and he walks in the middle of it and is taken up. And they realized this wasn't a regular angel. This was God. They were afraid they were going to die, because there's this old long-term saying is that, you know what, you see God, you die. And they believed this a lot of time all the way through the Bible. But I'm announcing to you what happened here. Are y'all with me? Okay, y'all look this way. Are y'all with me? Praise God. But I'm telling you, they realized that they had met Jesus, that it was God. And he also appeared to Gideon. Do you remember that? He appeared to Gideon and showed himself. And he appears as King Melchizedek to Abraham with bread and wine. What does that say to you, bread and wine? We just received communion. It's covenant blessing meal, celebration meal of covenant, where he's committing himself to us. And he announced as King Melchizedek, he was the priest of God Most High. That's great news, because I want to tell you something. He's our high priest. Same. He's our high priest right now. And he sympathizes with our weaknesses. Is that great? So don't forget this Jesus. Same order. Same ministry. Same priest. He's our high priest. Not out of the order of Levi. See, that came a little bit later. But the order of Levi is different than the order of Melchizedek. The order of Levi is the law. You do right, you're blessed. No, with the order of Melchizedek, you're blessed first. Is that great news? Not because of you, maybe in spite of you, but he blesses you first. So the first thing that King Jesus did was to rescue Abraham and his family with a miraculous victory. They were way outnumbered, number of kings. Abram takes his crew, and he goes and attacks these three kings and rescues his family and all the spoils. And everybody was recaptured, and he brought them home. And he knew, and everybody knew, this was a miracle of God. Okay, it's good that he knew it. Okay. And so he rescued Abraham, this miraculous victory, and he met him. When he shows back up, he meets him with a covenant blessing. Wine, bread. That's what Jesus is. That's why we like to talk about grace. Abraham experienced a grace covenant before the law ever showed up, because he was blessed first. Okay? That's what Jesus is. He blesses us first, not by our performance. Aren't you glad? But by his works, we're blessed. By his heart, we're blessed. So the first words that come out of King Melchizedek's mouth the high priest of God to Abram is this. It's blessing, not cursing. It's blessing first. Is that great news? Hey, I'm going to just show you in the scripture right quick because I got to go fast. Melchizedek, this is Genesis 14, 18 and 20, 18 through 20. Melchizedek, king of Salem, later called Jerusalem, brought out bread and wine for their nourishment. Let me say to you, communion is for your enriching. It's for your enriching. You say, well, I don't need communion. You don't need enriching. Is that what you're saying? No, it's good. We need enriching. This journey, something else, man. We need to walk through all the gates that he reveals to us. To touch him, receive from him. He wants us to receive. He was the priest of God Most High, still is. And he blessed him and said, blessed, favored with blessings, to the place of being made blissful and joyful. Now, I want to tell you something. It's only King Jesus that gives you joy. It's not the happenings of happenings around you. That can be a temporary happiness. But I want to tell you, because of who he is, the high priest who sympathizes with your weaknesses, he can give you joy in the midst of the greatest trial you're ever going through. He can give you joy because he is with you. It's his joy, not yours. I want to tell you, that's blessedness. And he said, blessed be Abram by God Most High. God is blessing you. And I want to tell you, God has blessed every single person that's listening to me right now because of Jesus. The blessing of the cross is for you. Possessor and maker of heaven and earth. Boy, when you consider all that he is and all that he's done and that he prefers you, that is great favor. Verse 20, and blessed, praised, and glorified be God Most High. See, he's showing him the protocol, the priority in our life is to have a lifestyle, a continual lifestyle of blessing and praising and glorifying God. That keeps your glasses in hand because it allows you to see God for who he really is and how big he really is and how he really loves you. And that makes a heaven of a lot of difference in this journey. Amen. He has given your foes into your hand. He is your deliverer. He's your conqueror. I want to tell you, when you approach God in a worthy manner, do you know what happens in your life? Hey, your battles become his. It's his battle and not yours. Is that great news? He wants that for you. He wants that for you. And this is what happened. Abram worshiped the Lord and gave a tenth of all he had. He wasn't commanded to do this. This was an expression of worship. And that's the way it needs to be today. Okay? I'm going to announce to you and try to show you in the next few minutes that this is a gate also, a gate of blessing to reverse the curse. Now, if you've been listening to this series, you know what that means. When we receive the blessing, we reverse the curse. Jesus paid the price. He announced and released the blessing in order for the curse on this earth not to affect you. All right. We know by listening to this series, the divine sentence came on the earth through Adam's sin. It wasn't sent by God. It came because of sin. Poverty is a part of that curse. There was no poverty before sin. There was no lack. You say, well, Brother Tim, we live on earth. No, you know, you're not just an earth person. You're a kingdom person. And you have a shepherd. And the shepherd's made a promise to you. I am your shepherd. You shall not. Got it. That means lack. Amen. And so, yes, there was a divine sentence on this earth, a divine curse. But remember this. Boy, if you've listened at all in this series, you got this. Were we cursed by God? No. Man, I'd like to hear you say that. We're not cursed by God. The curse comes because of sin. The divine sentence, Adam, an enemy, agreed against God and betrayed God. Curse came. Now, you already know, you've been here for a few years. You know, because of the offerings we have, I don't teach the traditional view on tithing. Because the traditional view is this, if you don't tithe, God will curse you. Okay. Let me announce this. This goes for everybody. If you misunderstand his heart, you can misunderstand his words. Let me be crystal clear about this. In the old covenant, the new is concealed. In the new covenant, the old is revealed. And so when we look back at the old, we need to take the new covenant glasses with us, because that we are in the new covenant. New covenant is the heart ministry of Jesus for us today. We are in the grace season, and it's so exciting. But I want to tell you something. It's very, very important that you understand that it is not God's heart and it's not God's words. God did not say, if you don't tithe, I will curse you. God does not say that. You're not tithing? Well, you're under a curse. But it's not from God. It's from the curse of sin. It's one of the divine sentences that's already on the earth. Okay? You're suffering under a divine curse that was brought on by Adam's sin. And let me say, it was meant for Adam's sons, not God's sons. If you've received Christ, you've been born again. You've been born in the family of God. You're a son and daughter of the living God. And it's not meant for you. It's not meant for you to be under the curse of sickness or of poverty or of depression. Are you with me? God's showing you a way out. That's what New Testament says, that he is the way out. He is your escape from the curse. How do we do that? The same way that Abram did is by believing. By believing, it was counted unto him as righteousness. His position of righteousness came from his believing, not because that he scored straight A's on every report card, because he did not. I don't have time to go into that, but he did not. And so it's by believing that we receive. Same way, it's grace. Now, you understand that the whole earth is cursed because of Adam's sin. The divine curse is here because of Adam. We're in a position of blessing because of Jesus. That's our position. It's the position of blessing because of Jesus. The world's tainted by the curse. Even your salary's tainted by the curse, because it's the earth way. It's the world way. It's the earth way. Okay? But let me announce something to you. Anything that's dedicated to God can be redeemed. You say, well, I've been through a mess and you don't understand how bad I was and what all I did. I want to tell you, surrender to God. Surrender your past to God under the blood of Jesus. I want to tell you, he can redeem anything and everything you've ever been through if you surrender and submit it to him. He can redeem it. He can work it out for your good. Boy, this is for you. For your good and for his glory when it's submitted to him. Amen, Brother Tim. So, even your salary. Now, example, your paycheck. We know some people that get large paychecks. Large salaries. It'd make you go, wow! Okay, but let me tell you something. You know what we hear from some of them, not all of them, you know what we hear from some of them? It's never enough. It's never enough. You would think the way they talk that we need to take up an offering for them. And they make a lot of money. It's like the Bible says, it's like a bag. They put it in a bag with holes in it. That's not blessing. That's curse. And so it really don't matter how much money you make. If you're not reversing the curse, it's never enough. Be like a bag with holes in it. No matter how much is put in, it goes away. Where'd it go? Okay, who got it? And the problem is the divine sentence. Believers are not cursed. We're blessed by Jesus, but we can suffer from the curse if we don't believe. Jesus made a way to reverse the curse. He took all of our curses on the cross. And so how do we practice reversing the curse? Well, one way that we've talked about in this series is by communion, by believing and receiving, remembering him, approaching him in a worthy manner and receiving. And I want to tell you, it's childlike faith. believe and receive, approaching in a worthy manner. Another gate, of course, there's all kind of gates we've talked about. We've talked about the gate of the Word, how powerful the gate of the Word is. We've talked about the power of meditating on the Lord. He gives us this. He invented it, not the enemy. To meditate on the Lord. Praise, the gate of praise and thanksgiving, how powerful that is. The gate of prayer, how powerful that is. The gate of fellowship with one another, and we all need that. If not, you become isolated, and I want to tell you, you can get too distinctive in your thoughts without open fellowship. We need one another. Iron sharpeneth iron. It helps us walk out in practice what's really true. But another gate is tithing. Romans 11:6, this is a principle. Now, if the first handful of dough offered as the first fruits is consecrated, so is the whole mass. And so, in other words, if the root is consecrated, so are the branches. Now, this is a principle in Scripture. And it goes like this. If the root is holy, and holy means to separate unto God. It means to separate, to dedicate to God. If the root's holy, then the whole tree is holy. That's what it's saying. All right? Another way to say holy is to complete. Okay? If the root's corrupted, the whole tree's corrupted. Even if it looks okay at the moment. Now, you and I both know that there are people on the Book of Face who have these amazing pictures. We used to call it, decades ago, before the Book of Face, we used to call it video magic, Hollywood magic. They can make something look so good, so real, but it's fake. And I want to tell you, on the Book of Face, there are families that have, we got the amazing pictures, we got the amazing kids, we got the amazing house, we got the amazing cars, we got the amazing life. And I want to tell you, we minister to some of those. And I want to tell you, I can tell you that there are some of those that have the Book of Face family where everybody says, I wish I was like them. I wish I had that house, wish I had those cars, wish I had that smiling family. And I want to tell you, the closet was full of demons. All right, this is not an expression. This is real. Full of darkness. And so I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If the marriage is not real, let me make an announcement. The family's not real. All right, is that a little too much? Boy, because I got a lot more to go. But what I'm telling you, it's a principle. If the root is cursed, the tree's not real. If the root is blessed, the whole tree is blessed. All right? And so that's why it's so important. That means that you take your salary and take the first 10% and bring it to God. Everybody say, bring it to God. One more time. Bring it to God. Boy, that expression is real important. If you'd bring to God the 10%, that's his, then the whole paycheck is blessed. Do you see that principle? Man, that ought to be exciting for somebody. And so, holy reverses the curse of the divine sentence. Holy means set apart to God. The rest is blessed. And so, catch this. If you approach God in a worthy manner, God's not cursing you. He's blessing you. You know what it means, tithe? It means remember me. Doesn't that sound like what Jesus said? Remember me? Because when we remember, we receive. When we remember, we believe and we receive. And that's what the tithe is. It's remembering him. Remember me. Bring me. Bring me the tithe. That's mine. Bring it. And so God's not cursing you. He's blessing you. By grace through faith, we reverse the curse and receive the blessing. The way to reverse the curse is receive the blessing. That's his heartbeat. Melchizedek brings bread and wine, covenant blessing. Abraham worships Jesus with the 10% tithe. That's the way of escaping the divine sentence to receive the divine blessing. Remembering him, Abram was esteeming him, glorifying him, magnifying him, and in heaven we won't practice communion or tithing anymore because it'll all be fulfilled. We practice it until Jesus returns. And so for eternity, we're going to have perfect communion. We'll have perfect health. We'll have perfect wealth. But at this point, 10% belongs to God, 90% is blessed by God. Now, I'm going to say this. Would you rather have 90% blessed than 100% cursed? Oh, come on now. I'm going to make this personal. You know I don't mind doing it. What about you? Would you rather have 90% blessed or 100% cursed? Well, I want to announce something to you. You say, well, I'm not 10%. Yeah, I had a guy, this guy was a millionaire, okay. But he asked me, do you know how much 10% is? I said, yeah. Well, I don't do algebra very well, but I got business math. Yeah, I know what 10% is. But I want to tell you, God does too. And he calls it his. He says, bring me back. I mean, bring to him. Now listen, you say, well, 90%, you know, I'm going to have to. No, let me tell you something. God's blessings are supernatural. Amen. He brings his super to your natural. It's more than enough because he's the great I am, which means more than enough. Hey, 5 loaves, 2 fish feed over 5,000, which could have very well been 15, 20,000 people. Hey, how did that happen? It's kingdom math. When you remember him, you operate by kingdom math and not man's math. Human math ain't going to get it. It's under a curse. And so all of you guys that, you know, have a wonderful retirement plan, I'm so proud of you. You got something I don't have. I'm very proud of the discipline you got and everything. But let me tell you something. Don't you dare depend on it, not on God. That's not the way it works. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, that retirement plan can be so blessed if you bring to God. Okay. God didn't say, pay me the tithe or give me. He said, bring me. Let's look at it real close because I got just a couple minutes. Okay. Malachi 3:8-12. Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. I want to tell you what you rob him of. You rob him of giving you the blessing that he paid for. Okay. In what way do we rob or defraud you? Well, you've withheld your tithes and offerings. You've said no to me. You've said yes to covetousness and no to me. I want to tell you what tithing does. It breaks the power of covetousness because we're depending on him. And not on ching ching. You're cursed with a curse for you're robbing me. Hey, the curse came from Adam and the enemy. It didn't come from God. But I want to tell you, we can say yes to the curse by saying no to God. He said, bring all the tithes into the treasure house. That's what the Young's literal translation says, the treasure house. I just love that so much because I want to tell you, it's treasure house. He's the treasure. That there may be food in my house, improve me now by it. Hey, he says, come on, let's do this. You can't outgive me, you can't outlove me, you can't outbless me. You can't out-honor me, says the Lord of hosts. I will open the windows of heaven for you. He said, boy, you can't see the blessing from where you are, but I can see it, is what he's saying. And it's a windows of heaven for you. Pour out a blessing that there will not be enough room for you to receive it. Do you know why? Because it's more than enough. You know why? Because it's not just for you. You know why? Because it's for others too. That's the definition of prosperity. Is you having more than enough, not just for you, but for others. That's God. And he says, I will rebuke the devourer. Insects, plagues, for your sakes, and shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine drop its fruit before its time in the field, says the Lord. You know what this says? Your business is going to prosper. Amen. That's what that says. His heart for you is to be a success, not a failure. The head, not the tail. The first, not the last. Above, not beneath. Anybody got it? That's God's heart. His heart is in the blessing. He paid for the blessing. He just wants us to receive it. This is one of the gates. He says that, you know what? If you look at verse 11, you know what you see? Divine protection right there. Part of the blessing is divine protection. That's what he told Abram. I hope to get to it in the next few seconds. But he told Abram, he said, I will be your shield. I'll be your shield. That's a 360-degree shield. Not a tiny one. That's a big one because he's a big God. And he's able to protect you from the backside where you can't see. Amen. He says that in Psalm 91. And all nations shall call you happy and blessed, for you shall be a land of delight. Do you see that? Now, I want to tell you. I want to tell you how blessing shows up, how it manifests. This land is delighted. This land is fulfilled. This land is experiencing abundant life, abundant love, abundant peace, abundant joy. You say, well, I'm not there. Well, it's good news. You can be there. Because that's the definition of blessing. You may not be there before you leave, but you may. Because I'm telling you, the Lord can deal with things. And boy, I'm telling you, he's supernatural. He'll take his super and put it on your natural. But it takes surrender to do it. He's not going to do it without you. Do you see that in this? He's not going to do it without your cooperation. You have a chooser to say no. He says, bring. It means to give back. It's mine. When you tithe, you don't give to God. You bring back what's already his. He says, bring me. Beautiful Blonde and I are fixing to go on a tour through North Carolina and Tennessee. And you know, Pastor Rich, I've told y'all before, he loves the mighty Red Hawk. And so while we're gone for a few weeks, the Red Hawk's sitting there at Camp Hallsville. Okay, Pastor Rich, yes, you can use it. He usually waits till I bring it in for maintenance. He loves to drive it around town, take it home, show it off in the neighborhood. But I want to tell you something. While we're gone, and he's using the mighty Red Hawk for a couple weeks, and I come back, and I say, bring me, are you listening? Bring me my truck. Now, he brings the Red Hawk by. He don't go around in his shop, and he don't go around in his business. He don't go around in the church family and in his neighborhood. He don't go around and say, I gave Pastor Tim a truck. No, he don't do that. That ain't right. It ain't your truck, bro. Bring me the mighty Red Hawk. And so he brings it back. It's mine. Bring me. That's what God's saying. You bring to God what's his. Now, when you bring the tithe to God, it belongs to him. The whole rest is holy. Reverses the curse. I don't know if you tithe or not. I'm telling you, it's true. It's absolutely set up. Leadership knows this. I don't know who gives and who does not. And that's on purpose. And I'll just tell you real quickly why. Because I was under a pastor one time who knew what everybody gave. And he so celebrated the givers, especially the big ones. He so celebrated them and disesteemed those who did not. Now, there were some things I know I probably learned from him, but I learned some things not to do, and that was one of them. You know, that's called wisdom, too, you know, to learn what not to do. But I want to tell you something. I don't know who gives. You know what? That's between you and God. But I want to tell you, you tithe to the Lord, you bring him. He's designed a way of escape from the divine sentence. Same thing with communion, same thing with prayer, praise, Bible, meditation. He wants you to remember him and be blessed. Because when you remember, you believe. When you believe, you receive. So bring the 10% to the Lord. It's his. Remember him. He is your supply. You know what tithe means? I trust you. Lord, I depend on you. I worship you. I honor you. That's the only thing I don't like about hitting a button to give. Okay, I want to tell you, the blonde will tell you, because I still write checks. And some of you don't know what that is, but I still write checks, okay? But I want to tell you, I don't put it in the plate on Sunday because I give it to the blonde. The blonde gives it to Terry in the office. It ain't out here. But I want to tell you what happens when I sign that check every week. I give praise. I take some moments to worship. Because that's what it's supposed to be, worship. And so I'm going to tell you, hey, hit the button. Thank God you do. Hit the button. But when you hit the button, sometime, somewhere, worship him with it. Because that's protocol. And that's Bible. Okay? All right. I'm finished. So let me see if there's anything else here that's got to be said. Okay. Wow. Okay. Genesis 15:1. After these things. See, it was right after this experience, this encounter with God, with Jesus, King Melchizedek, Jesus. Right after this, Genesis 15:1. After these things, right after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram." You know what this says? Because of his blessing, because Jesus took the curses on the cross, we are free to receive because he paid for it. And this is what he's saying to us. You don't have to fear anymore. Fear not, because I am your shield. That's your God. Wait a minute. He says, I'm your abundant compensation. Now, I want to tell you, when you look that up, it ain't no other way around it. It comes out like this. He says he is your paycheck. He your paycheck. He your provision. He. And your reward shall be exceedingly great. He says, hey, because I am to you, I am your exceedingly great reward. That's your God. That's divine favor. That's your Jesus right there. Okay? And so that's what the Lord's got in mind. And so we reverse the curse in this journey. Guess what? We got a great, great Father. And His Son Jesus paid the price. And so that's why we tell people, you pursue Jesus. You don't pursue health and wealth. You pursue Jesus. And it's Jesus that manifests the health and wealth to you. If we could get people to understand that you can miss by seeking the provision, you can miss. But I want to tell you, if you seek the position of righteousness of God in Christ, understanding I'm the righteousness of God in Christ because of Jesus, because of Him, because of His works, because of His grace, I get to receive. When you receive the position, the provision's easy to know that you already have. Well, I know that was a lot, but I had to say it in a hurry because we're done. And I'm just going to talk about the human part of me because Paul did this sometime. He said, I know it sounds a little foolish, but I'm going to talk like a man and not from God. Here's a man talk. Now, Pastor Rich, when you bring me back the Red Hawk, you best have a little more pushline in it than what it had. You know what I'm saying? Gasolina. Better have a little more pushline in it than what it had in. And when you bring it back, let it be a little bit cleaner than the way you got it. Now that's human talk. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Your Father's not like that. You know what He says? Hey, you bring me what's mine. I'm going to be your shield. I will manifest in your life as your shield. Listen to the goodness of God, the great loving kindness of God. I will be your exceedingly great reward for just bringing back what's already mine. That's a great, great Father. That's not T. Hall. That's great, great Father. Aren't you glad? Let's pray together right now. Lord Jesus, thank you that we get to just be a part of the amazing grace covenant that your Son paid for. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that in the same way that Abram received, we can receive by believing. By believing, we receive. And so, Lord Jesus, we submit our heart to you right now. Lord Jesus, we renounce every word, curse, and spell that the enemy in this world, that sin has placed against us. We submit ourselves to the blood of Jesus. We submit ourselves to the works of the cross. And we declare in Jesus' words, it is finished. Lord, we believe and we receive. Thank you that you've given us Holy Spirit as a life coach to not only show us your truth, but give us the grace to walk it out. And we give you praise. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a thank you. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen and amen and amen.